My message today is, have you received the Holy Ghost? I know it may be a little strange for most of you. You have been believers for so many years, and what is this new question Shadrach is coming and asking? Have you received the Holy Ghost? I'm going to take it in a different angle today. One thing we need to know, let's read one scripture first. And then we go to the message, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. The 24th verse, then 27th verse, and then 31st verse. 24, 27, and 31. Somebody from the congregation, you can read. Anybody wants to read? You can read. Luke chapter 12, 24, then you go directly to 27, and then 31.
24.
Yeah.
Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them, how much more are ye better than the fowls?
27.
Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
The 31st verse.
But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are a spiritual people. First, we need to know we are a spiritual people. You may have a natural body, a physical body, but there is a spirit man which was first created by God. Each and everyone seated here, we need to fill our spirit man first before you fill your natural man. Now that is why the Lord had to tell us to look at the raven and lily. Something surprising, right? God has to teach us by a raven and by a lily to tell us, don't worry about your natural man, but you need to worry about your spiritual man. That's why after giving these examples, he's telling in the 31st verse, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, which is spiritual. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now what do we look at the raven? Raven is one of the most ugliest bird that we have ever seen. Right? It's very ugly. All the other birds that we have seen, we see is very beautiful, but raven is very ugly. If a bird which is so ugly, in Psalms we read, when the young ravens cry out, the Lord hears them. If an ugly raven cries and God will feed them, you and I have been created in the image of God. Don't you think God will hear us? And then the raven has the most dirtiest voice. Ha ha. It's not pleasant to the ears. You know, when you listen to the other birds, it's so cuckoo and all the other birds, they sing so beautifully. But the raven's voice is very, very dirty. It has a broken voice. With a broken voice, if it can call upon God and God will feed the raven, don't you think God has given us all such beautiful voices? God will surely feed us. Hallelujah. And raven has another character. Raven is an uninvited guest. Where there's biryani, raven is there. Ha ha. You don't need to invite a raven. You know, though in India, they have a belief system. You know, before you make food, first food goes to the crow. So the people with the, you know, with a handful of rice, the woman or the man stands there, ka, ka, ka. They say, you know, and then the raven comes and they keep it on the compound walls. And the raven eats. After the raven eats, then they go and, okay, some god or goddess has come like a raven. You see, but the usual nature of raven is, when there is a feast, it knows. It is there. If an uninvited guest, uninvited raven, God can hear and answer its prayer. You and I have been invited. Come unto me. Hallelujah. There's a spiritual invitation given to us. So we need to seek the spiritual side. We need to seek the things for the spiritual man. And that is where I'm bringing the Holy Ghost today. Everyone seated over here, you need to make sure that you have received the Holy Ghost. I'm going to clarify those things today. We have morning service and then evening, afternoon service again. I'll finish this message in two sessions. Now the Lord is again telling us by Solomon, I mean lily, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. We know that there are thousands of lilies, right? I think more than 50,000 or even more. Every lily has a color, a beauty, the way the Lord has designed. Even all the designers, they copy from the lilies. All the dress that you're wearing, all the colors that we are wearing, you know, you will find some lily somewhere. Matching our shirt and pant. That's the way God has created. Solomon was a man who had so much of pomp and glory. He must have had special designers, tailors. When there is a big feast going on, you know, Solomon must have called all the kings, because Solomon was a peacemaker. He used to always have feasts, call the kings of Egypt, call the kings of different Assyria and all the other places. Oh, come, let's have a feast. And Solomon must have been the best dressed king because he wanted to show his pomp and glory. But yet the Lord is saying, look at the lily of the valleys. Solomon is nothing, man. Look at the lily of the valleys. Now some crazy thought, you know, funny thought came into my mind. You know, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Imagine if Solomon meets his first wife today, to meet her again, it will take nearly 3 years, right? Tonight, Solomon is meeting his first wife. Next day, second, third, fourth. To come back to the first wife, it takes at least nearly close to 3 years. Imagine how many children he must have had. Okay, let's just, now Solomon is dead and gone, so we can talk anything we want about him. Okay? He's not going to come and ask us. Say an average of 3,000 to 4,000 children. If one wife will have three children, 1,000, totally 3,000. And for all the 3,000, when the feast is going on, so many people coming and saying, Daddy, 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 Solomon himself would have been confused. Call the home minister. Come here. Somebody's calling me Daddy. What is the number of the mother? Lord, it is 501. You see, this was the condition of Solomon. And for all the children, for all his queens, for all his concubines, he must have given them the best. Yet the Lord is saying, look at the lily of the valley. Why they don't toil? The Lord is trying to say, I am the designer.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I am the one who feeds.
Hallelujah.
I'm the one who cooks food for them.
Amen.
So man is always interested in the physical things. But God is telling us you need to worry about the spiritual things. Today we are living in a world. The world has come and believers are being swallowed up by the serpent of materialism. They don't have time for God. They don't have time to serve God. They don't have time to call upon God. And calling upon God is just become like a, you know, in Tamil we say, Urga Tadugramari. Just like, you know, pickle. Take a pickle and lick it. That's not the way. You have to seek God. God should be everything in our life. That is why. Here, the Lord is saying, seek. Now, 39th verse. And seek not he what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, but all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. If God has created us, every mother sitting over here, you know when your child cried for milk, immediately the mother knows the cry. Every father knows what the responsibility is. They know how to take care of their children without the children telling them. And what about our Heavenly Father? Why are we so much into this material world? Why are we caught up so much into this world that we don't have time for God? We need to give God time. People say, I'm so busy, I don't have time. What a lie. You are living in time which God created, and you say, I don't have time. Huh? What a lie. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read the Bible. I'm too busy. Who told you to be too busy? Did Jesus tell you? Be so busy that you have to forget me? People are going behind the world. You're attracted towards the world. The reason is, many believers think they have the experience of the Holy Ghost, but they don't have. Let me tell you something. If you really have a genuine, a true baptism of the Holy Ghost, your thoughts, your mind, your character, your nature, everything will change. You cannot remain the same. Look at the apostles. Look at that 120. When they were all baptized by the Holy Ghost. Can you show me one from among the 120 left the Lord? No. They were the ones who turned the world upside down. Because when you have the genuine experience of the Holy Ghost, there is a change in your mind, your heart, your character, your nature. To receive the Holy Ghost, you don't need to be worthy. But you need something. You need to believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. When you really believe in the blood and call upon His name from your heart and decide, until I receive this experience of the Holy Ghost, I'm not going to do anything else. Amen. How many people can say that today? Amen. You sit down and pray for spiritual experience. You sit down and pray for The Holy Ghost experience, but after some time, you're tired, you get up and you walk off.
Amen.
I ask many people, yes, you're all praying to God, but have you ever waited in His presence to receive His voice back? Prayer is a kind of interaction, right? Now, when I pray, you're praying to somebody, and before he could talk back to you, you get up, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'm going. Hey, all this while you were talking, now don't you want God to speak to you back? People don't have patience to receive the Holy Ghost. People don't have passion to receive the Holy Ghost. People don't find it a great joy. They don't look upon this as though you need to see, if I don't have the Holy Ghost, then I am a dead man.
Amen.
If you don't have this thought inside you.
Amen. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, there's something really wrong. Something very wrong. You know, when you have the true Holy Ghost upon you, there will not be any kind of jealousy spirit in the church.
Amen.
You know why? When you see the Holy Ghost in your life, you know you're unique. I've always looked upon Brother Gann as a role model. But I've never tried to be Brother Gann. What I asked God was, Lord, as Shadrach, what do you want me to do? I've not looked at another minister. Now, Brother Prasanna is the pastor of the church. Now, I know Brother Gann before Brother Prasanna. How can Brother Gann make Brother Prasanna the pastor of the church? Huh? My brothers and sisters. Brother, I bless you. Because I'm not jealous of him. You know why? I know what my call is. I know what God has given for me. I know the Holy Spirit has filled me, and I know what is my calling. When I have recognized my call in the body of Christ, I don't need to feel jealous of the other person. Peter was not jealous of Paul. Paul was not jealous of Peter. Look at the creation of the sky. Look at the earth. Look at the moon. Look at the planets. Look at the other stars. No star is jealous of the other star.
Amen.
But every star is unique.
Amen.
Every star is something special.
Amen.
The earth looks at the moon and the earth says, oh, beautiful moon. The moon looks at the earth and it says, oh, beautiful earth.
Amen.
When you have the true Holy Ghost upon you, your only intention is to do what God has called you to do.
Amen.
The problem with believers today is you don't have the Holy Ghost. You have not experienced the Holy Ghost. You don't have a call and you don't know what to do. When you have the true Holy Ghost, you don't have time to look what that brother is doing or what this sister is doing, because you have so much of work to do before God.
Hallelujah.
That's why I bring this question today. Have you received the Holy Ghost? This was a promise given to the Old Testament saints. Old Testament saints are not blessed like us. Everyone did not receive the Holy Ghost. We just see few men of God who had the Holy Ghost. Yet they were fighting with their flesh. Maybe you see 1 Samuel. who was bold enough to say, could you people find any fault with me? But what about Samson? What about David? They all had the Holy Ghost, but they were fighting with their flesh. Why? The blood was not shed in those days. Holy Ghost was a promise. God gave it to a few people here and there so that they stood as an example to show them, if you believe, you can receive the same Spirit. But the time came in Joel, we see the prophecy, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Why? God is not a God of Hebrews anymore. God is not just a God of Jews anymore. But He's God of Gentiles. The time came 2,000 years back. We saw on the day of Pentecost, we see the Holy Spirit came upon them. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 2. Chapter 1. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 1 and 8. Forgive me. Acts chapter 1 and 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now you need to watch this scripture very clearly. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
Amen.
Everybody have to now look into your hearts. Do you have the power of the Holy Ghost? If somebody will say, yes, I do have the power of the Holy Ghost, then the nature that you will receive after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you need to read that too. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now if you say you have the Holy Ghost, and if you are not a true witness, then I doubt whether you have the Holy Ghost. Now, you know how this functions. You have a bike, a new bike with good condition. Everything is ready. The keys are on. But you're trying to start your bike and the bike is not moving. What is going to be your answer? Why do you think the bike is not moving? No fuel. The bike may be new. The car may be new. But if you don't have fuel, if you don't have petrol, you don't have diesel, it is not going to move. Yes, I believe you are in the truth. I have no doubts regarding it. Every brother and sister who believes in the truth, I don't doubt your salvation. But I doubt whether you have received the power of the Holy Ghost. The point here is, when the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will become a running machine automatically. Nobody can stop you. You just start to move. You just start to go. That is why the Lord is speaking about the power of the Holy Ghost. Now you need to understand what this Holy Ghost is all about. I know you have been under the best teacher. But at the same time, I believe whatever experience that Lord has led me, I want to speak it here in the church, which will add to your faith and the things that you believe. Now there is something called, called the peace of the Holy Ghost. And there is something, the power of the Holy Ghost. When you believe in the truth, when you believe in God's word, the message of the hour, the truth which has been revealed for these days, I believe the peace of the Holy Ghost is within you. No doubt. But for your vessel to be in action, for you to be a witness in Singapore, in India, in other parts of the world, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. This is not two different Holy Ghosts. It is the same Holy Ghost with different experience. Right? Now let's go to Book of John. Chapter 14. Seventeenth verse. Even the Spirit of truth, John chapter 14, 17th verse. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now the Holy Ghost is one, but we have three different manifestation, or I would say relationship. Now when the Spirit of truth comes, he's saying, you know him, right? But the world cannot receive. Now what is the world? The world means cosmos. It means the world system, the religious system, the educational system, Hollywood, Bollywood. I saw a video recently, you know, some Hollywood woman is, actress is praying. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we pray. You know, I was just wondering, what kind of prayer are they making? Praying for what? So that we'll take very good murder movies? Lord, we are praying so that all our murder movies will be sold. It will be a blockbuster. Lord, we pray for what? So that you will show all the adulterous movie, all adultery and sin and sodomy. The world cannot receive this Holy Ghost. It's a lie. The worldly men cannot receive the Holy Ghost. They don't have the knowledge of the Holy Ghost. But we, through the truth, when the truth has come, we know who God is. We don't believe in a Trinity. We don't believe that Holy Ghost is a third person in the Trinity. He is that same Almighty God. God is a Spirit, God is holy, so He's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a character in which God can come and dwell in that same body of Christ at one time. Believers who are in Singapore today, if you have the Holy Ghost, the same believers in India at this time, they can be part of the Holy Ghost. The same believers in America can be part of the Holy Ghost. At one time, the Holy Ghost is dwelling with that same body of Christ all over the world. He fills the entire body of Christ. Praise be to God. Now, he's saying, watch this. For he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. And we already read in Acts chapter 1 and 8, when the power of the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. So when it is one Holy Ghost, but he shall be with you, he will dwell in you, he shall be upon you. So the Holy Spirit with us, the Holy Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit upon us. You need to understand this.
Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 47. Then we'll continue with, after I speak something from this, then I will continue with the three things that I mentioned. He's with you, in you, and upon you. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 47. 1 to 5. Somebody can read. Yeah. Ezekiel chapter 47, 1 to 5.
Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there went out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through, the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Ezekiel had a vision. A vision. You know, he saw, he said, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. Now, in a vision, Ezekiel is seeing things regarding the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, this was a future vision, future prophecy of what will happen in the house of God. Now, everybody seated over here, you should know that you are the house of God.
Amen.
The Bible tells you are the temple of the living God. Now, if we are the temple of the living God, then the Holy Spirit stream should come out from us.
Amen.
See, Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you.
Amen.
Right? And within the kingdom, it is the Holy Spirit coming out of us, flowing through us.
Amen.
Now that is why Ezekiel, when he saw, what was he doing? Ezekiel was a watcher here. Or he was somebody who was watching what is happening in the house.
Amen.
Many of the believers today,
Many are like watchers. You are not experiencing the Holy Ghost within you, but you're watching and looking at the work which God is doing through other people. The first portion here is, many of the believers who are in the truth, they have not yet experienced the true experience of the Holy Ghost. That is the reason this vision of Ezekiel was for a time, for the later days. Now we are living in these later days. We are living in this time when the water, look at this, behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and waters came down from under, from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So waters were coming out. Jesus Christ told the Samaritan woman, if you believe, living waters will flow from you. Amen. Living waters will come out from your heart. Did not the Lord say that to the Samaritan woman? Right? So we should be the house of God. Through us should flow rivers of water, streams of water, so that sinners can come and drink and be satisfied. Hallelujah. Now this is the vision. Ezekiel is seeing this vision. Now, you come to the, to the second verse. Or the third verse. Okay, third verse. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the water. The waters were to the ankles. Some people are watching like Ezekiel, what's happening? They don't have a personal experience. They are watching from far. You think, what is happening there? How come God is using this preacher like this? How come God is using that brother or sister like this? How can that sister prophesy? How can that brother prophesy? You see, those who don't have a personal experience with Christ, those who have not experienced the Holy Ghost, you will just be looking and watching what is happening in the other side. Now, the second part we see, when the water came, it was ankle deep. I don't think it's just a shallow experience. Many of the people don't have a deep experience with Christ. You're just ankle deep. You're just walking. You know, you're not full of the Holy Ghost. You're just walking little in the water. You see, this is not something you should be satisfied with. You cannot ask the Lord and say, oh Lord, a little blessing of the Holy Ghost is enough for me. You should not be satisfied with the ankle deep water. You need more. You need to come to a higher spiritual experience of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So many people are like, you know, they are baptized. They are baptized in Jesus Christ's name. I'll show you a scripture. In the book of Acts chapter, chapter 8, and the 12th verse. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. Hello? Yes. Amen. Now, you see a group of people who... Philip went to Samaria, preached the truth, they were baptized. And it says, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Meaning he just did not preach only about baptism or Godhead. He has preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. It means his preaching has been in a deeper level. They believed, they understood, they were baptized. Now,
Now what happens is in the 14th verse, when we come to the 14th verse, we'll read from the 14th verse. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. 16th verse. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hello? Are you with me? They believed baptism in Jesus Christ's name. They believed in the truth. They believed all the doctrines and teachings which Philip preached. They were baptized in Jesus Christ's name, yet they did not have the Holy Ghost. Now, if you think just because you're baptized in Jesus Christ's name, you have the Holy Ghost, my brothers and sisters, you're wrong. Now, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ is that you have become, God has called you into His kingdom and has given you the promise of the Holy Ghost. Now, the promise of Holy Ghost is something, and receiving the promise of the Holy Ghost is something else. Just because you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, just because you believe in the revelation of Logos, just because you believe in all the doctrines of the Bible, doesn't mean you have the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost comes, when a man of God who is filled with the Holy Ghost, when he preaches, there is a grace of Holy Ghost which is poured upon the congregation so they may understand the word of God. But after you receive this grace, you need to personally go and fall down before God and ask Him for the Holy Ghost. You need to make sure that you have received the Holy Ghost. You cannot live all your life in doubts. There are many believers I have come across all these years. They still have a doubt. They say, what is the Holy Ghost? How should I receive the Holy Ghost? Brother Brenner made a statement. Many statements, many times. He has said, you know, understanding the truth for these last days is the Holy Ghost. That is true. I'm not saying that's a lie. That's a correct statement. But by understanding the Holy Ghost, by understanding the truth through the Holy Ghost, doesn't mean you have the fullness of the Holy Ghost. It leads you to something. The first grace which comes through the Holy Ghost by the preaching of the word. It brings you to the understanding of the right word, dividing the word, giving you the correct doctrine of Christ. But when you become a believer, that is something which you will all have to do, is each and everyone go down on your knees, cry, pray, fast, and ask the Lord to fill you completely from head to toe. Body, soul, and spirit. Many believers are satisfied with ankle deep level. Oh, happy. I'm happy to walk in the water. That is not the way it is. When you are being baptized in the water, it is not your ankle which is getting baptized. When you are being baptized in the water, you're immersed fully as a sign of what the Holy Spirit is ready to do in your life.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit wants to fill you completely.
Amen.
So there were a group of believers in the time of Acts who believed in the baptism, who believed in the right doctrine, yet they did not have the Holy Ghost dwelling in them. That is why two men of God had to be sent to make them aware of this Holy Ghost. Do you think you believe in Brother Branham's message? It is going to take you to take you in the rapture? Do you believe? Do you think that just because you are sincere believers in prophetic revelation church, you're given your tithes, you've supported many ministries, do you think you have a direct place in the chariots when the chariots come and the rapture will take place? No. Brother Gann came, he preached, he did his work, he's gone, he's resting now, peacefully. We are not going to call him. Like Saul calls Samuel. Huh? That's what the Branhamites are doing. They're calling Brother Branham. Come back, come back, come back. Brother Branham, Brother Branham. This is what is lacking in the church. Why the church is not having a revival? Why can't we see? You need to see. Let me tell you, we should be a replica. We should be an image, a likeness of that apostolic church. Amen. I know that fear factor, fear is gripping many people's hearts. How will I go and witness to others? Because Singapore has its laws and rules. My brothers and sisters, maybe in Singapore you will be arrested. In India, I'll be killed. In today's time. In today's time, if I have to go and preach, if they find out, I can be killed. And some states like Bihar and UP, Uttar Pradesh, they are holding a law that if you preach and it is found that you have been converting souls, they can put a law against you stating that you are a deshadrogi, betrayer of the country. Somebody like a betrayer. That in Uttar Pradesh they have a law still. In Bihar they have a law that you have betrayed your country and you can never come out. Two of our ministers whom I baptized in that place, they were arrested. We had to spend 40,000, you know, to give them a bail and take them from bail, take them outside. Now the laws are becoming more and more tough. My question is, are we going to remain silent because we are seeing some law is coming up in the land and the law is giving us pressure? Let me tell you something. Even in the apostolic times, they had certain laws. The Jews had certain laws. The Romans had certain laws. But John and Peter, they say, oh men and brethren, we have to obey God. When it comes to the gospel, if your fear has to leave you, and you really need to be a living witness, then you need the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why Samson was just a normal man. But when the Holy Ghost comes upon him, nobody could stop him. Who does not fear? As human being, even Elijah feared. When the anointing was on his lips, he looked at Jezebel and said, hey, dogs are going to lick your blood. And next scene we see, next chapter, we see running. He must have thought, oh Lord, did I speak something more? Brothers and sisters, that's the anointing. When the anointing comes, you are on fire. Nobody can stop you. When the anointing comes, the anointing is given so that this power should break the hearts of men. Men's hearts are like rock. And Jeremiah says, Lord, your word is like a hammer. Amen. It means you need the power of the Holy Ghost, which is like a hammer, which can break the hearts of men. Amen. Until you receive this experience of the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, you will be a good believer. Amen. Ankle deep. You'll be in the church.
walking inside the walls of the church. You want to play safe. You want to play safe. He said, I don't want to go out. This is enough. I come to church, I sing, I tithe, I give offerings. I'm a sincere believer, I'm helping others, I'm supporting others. But God wants us to go more and more deeper. God wants us to have the character of Christ. Christ was not afraid of Herod. Christ was not afraid of Pilate. Christ was not afraid of the murderous Sadducees and Pharisees. He looked at them boldly and spoke to them face to face. Where are the John the Baptist for today? Where are the Elijahs? Where is Elisha? Where is Jeremiah? Where is Isaiah? Where is Ezekiel? They all spoke against the sins of the nation and the land. And for a long time, we have remained quiet. Because something is lacking. Let me tell you something. When the power of the Holy Ghost comes inside you, when it rests inside you, then it is like it is that burning bush which Moses met face to face. It will start the passion of Christ. It will start burning inside you, the desire. Your vehicle has to move. You cannot sit down in one place. If you are a believer, still you need the power of the Holy Ghost. If you have to be an elder, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. If you have to be a preacher, you require the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you have to be a music leader, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Even if you have to operate this computer for the church, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. Because you will be led by the Spirit of God to do everything for the glory of God.
Amen.
And here people don't want to go deeper. Now, the next portion is, now that you understood this, let's go back to Ezekiel. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 47. The fourth verse. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. There are other group of believers. Knees is speaking about prayer life. There are some believers who are, you know, who are having good activity in the church. The water is still the knee level. But again, it is not fullness. They can kneel down in the church. What I'm trying to say is, they will be better believers than the ankle deep believers. They pray to God. I know there are many brothers and sisters who are sincerely, you pray for one another. But knee level is not enough. You cannot just say that I'm praying and praying and sitting down doing nothing for the Lord.
Amen.
You cannot say, brother, I'm praying, you please go and die. You die as a martyr while I'm praying. God has called me to pray. You take the risk. I will pray inside the room. So some believers are like ankle deep. I mean knee deep. And then you find the other one in the same verse, the waters were to the loins, to the waist. Now, this waist, this loins means the waist is the waist is like, you know, half your body. It means they are half spiritual and half worldly. You are half spiritual and you are half worldly.
Amen.
God wants you completely.
Amen.
God wants everything of yours. You cannot,
You cannot, because we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been purchased by God's own blood. If you have been purchased by God's own blood, you are not of yourselves. You don't own your body. You don't own your spirit. You don't own your soul. Now, this mobile was in the showroom. Before I purchased it, it was in the showroom. It belonged to the showroom, mobile shop. After I purchased this, this mobile belongs to me. I can do whatever I want to do with this. I can use it correctly or I can throw it down. It's mine. The showroom man cannot come and put a case against me because I have purchased it. Your hands have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Your eyes belong to Him. Your ears belong to Him. Your heart belongs to Jesus. Many people go, they want worldly life. They want Jesus for worldly life. They want Jesus for prosperity. They want Jesus for blessings. Brothers and sisters, no. You cannot have half your leg in clean water and half your leg in dirty water. This is another level of Christianity among the believers who love the world and they also want Christ. Only when there is church time, when you come to the church, there seems to be suddenly some holy presence because you are coming to church. But let me tell you something. You should turn your workplace into a church. You should turn your workplace into a church. John Wesley made the statement. He said, if a man is holy, his work shall be holy. You may be a carpenter, you may be a laborer, you may be an officer, you may be working wherever you are. But wherever you are working, if you have the fullness of Holy Ghost, turn that place into church. It means don't be influenced by the world. But rather, let the world surrender to you. We cannot have two lives. We cannot live a life of hypocrisy. Amen. Hypocrite means what in Greek? Actor. One who's acting. It means he's trying to be holy, but he's not holy. He's trying to be righteous, but he's not righteous. He's trying to live like a saint, but he's not a saint. He's just acting. You cannot act. I know that when you come to this church, there is sincerity. I know that when you come to this church, your mind is focused on Christ. But when you leave this room, and when you go out all through the week, who are you? And what are you? Is that life of Christ? Through that life of Christ, you're influencing somebody. There was a man called D.L. Moody. You must have heard about him. He was a cobbler, stitching shoes, polishing shoes. But when the Lord touched him, not even one day will go without he witnessing to a soul. Every day, if he doesn't witness to a soul, he will feel that he has betrayed the Lord. And everybody knew, don't go to that cobbler, yeah? He will speak about Jesus. So one day, it was about 5 o'clock, he finished his work. He did not find anybody. So he was like crying, Lord, give me one man today. And in far, he saw one drunkard coming. He said, I got a man now. So he slowly started to walk. When the drunkard saw him, the drunkard knew about D.L. Moody. He said, oh my God, if this man comes, he is going to cut me with the gospel. So that man started to walk fast. D.L. Moody was chasing him. He started to run. This is D.L. Moody history. Okay, he has said this testimony. That man runs. D.L. Moody runs after him. That man goes to his home, you know, the door, and he nearly closes the door. D.L. Moody, he opens it. He said, I just have one question. If you die today, where will you go? Heaven or hell? That's all. Thank you. He went home. He said, Lord, thank you. Today I found one man. He went and he was sleeping in his room. About 1 o'clock in the night, he hears a knock. And the D.L. Moody thinks, who has come to my home at this time? When he opens, the drunkard is there, shivering in the cold. He's saying, Moody, you asked me one question. I couldn't sleep. Where will I go? He said, please welcome home. And whole night he spoke about Jesus. Next day he was baptized. Oh, brothers and sisters, give your whole life to Christ, because you will have, God has called you to be witness. What if somebody kills you when witnessing? Glory be to God, die. Instead of dying in your sin, die for Jesus. Instead of dying in your negligence, be a witness for Christ. That is why we are being caught up, the church is being caught up into this world. Now look what Jesus is saying in the book of Luke. Hello, praise the Lord. Everybody, anybody feeling sleepy? You know, the most challenging time is this afternoon preaching. That's why I don't eat, you know, because the preacher should not sleep. So I want to be fresh. So it's a very big challenge, especially after you eat all your pork soup and, you know, very big challenge for us. So I need to keep you awake. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 21. Thirty-fourth verse. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with self-pitying and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. What is standing before the Son of Man? Standing before the Son of Man is the rapturing days. You see, we all have to stand before the Son of Man. It means when you are raptured, the first thing is you are going to stand before the Son of Man. Right? Bible tells, when you see Him, you shall be like Him. So the time is coming when we are all going to stand before the Son of Man. It means you should be found worthy to stand before the Son of Man. When you are a sinner, you should be unworthy. But when you are going in the rapture, you should be worthy. There's a lot of difference. When you first came to Christ, you come as you are, with your dirty clothes, torn, with all your sinful nature. You come to Him as you are. He will accept you. But after you become a believer, then God is expecting something from us. And the Lord is giving a warning. Don't be caught in the snare of this life. That they come upon you unaware. This means before you realize. Let me tell you. The technology world has taken everybody. Today's technology has taken everyone. You know, I'm not carrying a mobile. I'm carrying Judas Iscariot in my pocket. Any day this guy will betray me. I'm being followed. Satellites are watching me. Big brother, they call it big brother. Big brother is watching me. Where I'm going, what I'm talking. Sometimes I'm so scared to go into public toilets also. With this phone. Anybody watching? You don't know. The whole world is, yes, my brother, I'm not joking. Brother Prasanna and Brother Zoel, you must agree with this. Yes. There is nothing hidden today. We are being monitored, every one of you. Don't think nobody is watching you. The enemy is watching us. That's why the Lord is telling, don't sleep. Don't fall into the net. Internet, you see? Surfeiting. Surfing. Right? Don't fall into this trap. It means this is necessary for your work. Use it. This is necessary for your studies. Use it. But don't fall into a trap. It means now is the time to give yourself more in prayer. Now that's what he's saying. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Not only on Sundays. Not only on Bible study days. I tell you, there is a very big comfort when brothers and sisters come and gather. Yes, I know. When all of us join together, sing and worship, there is so much of, there's a presence of God and we are all very happy. But most of us are just satisfied with our church services. But many don't go to the presence of God personally and cry out to God. This is a big failure of the church. Because so many other things have occupied our mind. We think once the church is over, my duty is over today. Lord, huh? Bye-bye, tata. This is the problem. You think you come to church, your work is over with the Lord? Why should the Bible say pray always? Amen. Watching and praying always. Amen. That is 24 hours. Amen. 7 days in a week. 30 days in a month. 12 months. All through the year, you keep praying and watching. How am I supposed to do? How can I pray always? Amen. This is where you need the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't have it, you will not know how to pray. Amen. When the burden of the Lord comes, you know, there are times in the night. I would have just finished my ministry. 12:30. I come back home, I'll be so tired. I just wash myself, freshen up. I tell my wife, I don't even want to eat, let me sleep. Then sometimes we go to sleep. I just sleep not even half an hour. A voice comes, get up and pray. You feel so tired. You really don't want to get up sometimes. Lord, can I pray tomorrow? But I tell you, if I postpone, then some of God's work will be postponed. I will miss something. And that very moment I start to pray, and my wife will say, I don't know, I'm feeling something to pray along with you. We both pray for another 1 hour, 2 hours. The Lord puts certain burden with other churches. Amen. Some problem of some brothers and sisters whom we don't know. Prophecies are born in such prayers. Visions are born in such prayers. It is like giving birth to a child. That is why you need the fullness of the Holy Ghost to walk according to the scriptures. It means your life, praying always means your life should be a life of prayer. Your lifestyle is prayer. When you sit in a hotel, pray for the food. Thank you, Lord. When you take a cup of water, thank you, Lord. When you go on the bus, thank you, Jesus. Keep praying. When you're in your office, your hands are working, your mind is working, but your heart is going on praising God. Let me tell you, sometimes in the sleep, I've seen whole night, my heart goes on, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Only the Holy Ghost power which is in you can produce these gifts. Only the Holy Ghost, when it comes fully inside you, you start to... Your actions, your thoughts, your mind, everything is focused on Christ. Amen. And I'm preaching here today. I just had a cup of tea. Amen. Afternoon, I wanted lemon juice, but I didn't get. Finally, I got my Coke. Amen. You see? There was no lemon juice. I asked for lemon juice. But I got my Coke. Amen. But I don't feel hungry. I don't feel like eating anything. Because there is a burden placed. I need to release that burden.
Amen.
Once the preaching is over, Brother Prasanna, plan something.
Amen.
I have no problem. Actually, my hunger comes back after that.
Amen.
Until the word is delivered. Because I need to finish something.
Amen.
Jesus said, my meat is to finish the Father's will. To do the Father's will. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, the power, you cannot manifest the character of Christ.
Amen.
If someone in your life, you have not prayed whole night, then something is really wrong with you. If you have not fasted more than 3 days, not even once,
Amen.
Then something is lacking in your spiritual life. And you cannot do all these things if you don't have the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Because you will try to do in your flesh and you will fail and fail and fail. When the Holy Ghost comes, there is a special strength which comes in you. When I was in Kenya, the service starts at 8:30. I got connected to one pastor called Gaspar. The morning service starts at 8:30. And that, our service started at 8:30, and that day when I was there, it ended at 8:30 in the evening. 12 hours.
Amen.
I couldn't really believe that people also were seated. And I preached, started, my first preaching was over. Then they took us for a quick lunch. They have a, that pastor has a, he's a big TV preacher there in Kenya. He's in the message. And he has a small kitchen. And you know, there are sisters working there, preparing something. And they have a big TV screen. They watch the messages there. They keep working. So I went there for a quick lunch, came back. And afternoon, again, I had to preach. After I finished my preaching, then we started the healing service. The healing service started. And such a powerful manifestation.
Amen.
And after 8:30, I called the elders. I asked them, is there any more preaching? Because I was not tired.
Amen.
I wanted to continue the service. And I'm wondering, where did the strength come from? How could I be in the service for 12 hours from morning, from 8:30 to 8:30? And still I'm having a feeling I need to preach more.
Amen.
But when I went home, oh, that tiredness, that's the human side.
Amen.
When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, there is so much of strength.
Amen.
When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, there is so much of power. There is so much of joy.
Amen.
The church should now, the time has come that you need to take the full burden of the Lord.
Amen.
And that is why in Ezekiel, the last portion we saw on the 5th verse, I think, the rivers of water flowed so much that I couldn't pass. You just have to swim. Hallelujah. Ask God for a swimming experience. Ask God that you want to swim in the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Don't be satisfied with your shallow experience. Don't be satisfied.
Hallelujah.
With little of the Holy Ghost. In the book of Acts, the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. 1 to 4.
Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Amen. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, when the day of Pentecost was? Not ankle level. Not knee level. Not waist level. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now the desire, when the day you desire that I need this fullness of power, that is when a Pentecost has come for you. That's why the scripture says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, are you ready? You need to search your heart. Are you ready to receive this fullness of the Holy Ghost? The denomination circles are waiting for a revival, but they are waiting for a false revival. They will have a revival. They are going to end up with the World Council of Churches. And they are going to be deceived and they will think that that is the revival. Already all the Pentecostal independent pastors are being in India. I don't know about Singapore, but in India, all the Pentecostal pastors are being dragged into a group. They call it a synod of churches. Synod of churches. And in that group, they all bring all the independent pastors together. But they don't know that is part of WCC. They are waiting for revival. But they are not going to have a revival. Because the true revival is going to come within the bride. Only bride is going to see a real revival. Now, in Sri Lanka, when I was in Sri Lanka, I was called to preach in a pastor's conference. About 80 pastors were there. And all the 80 pastors, you know, they were like praying for revival in such a way that I really thought the building is going to crash. You know, the way they screamed and shouted and they prayed and prayed and prayed and they became tired and they gave the mic to me. Because after all the, just like the prophets of Baal, they went on screaming and screaming and screaming. Nothing happened. No fire came down. Then I took the mic. Then I asked them, I'm very happy. I told them, I'm very happy that you're praying for revival, but can you tell me how many days or months you've been praying for revival? And they told, we are praying for revival for 10 years. Very proudly, one pastor said, we are praying for 10 years. Then I asked the pastor, please don't misunderstand me. Let me ask you a question. On the day of Pentecost, 120 believers, they prayed for 10 days and there was a revival. How come for 10 years you have been praying and there is no revival? They did not have an answer. After the meeting was over, one pastor came and told me, Pastor, you have challenged us. Yes, for 10 years we have just been screaming and shouting. Then I told them, you need to get back to the apostolic faith. You need to come back to the foundation. You're not going to have a revival. You people are asking for revival in the name of Trinity. Yes, Nimrod will come down. Semiramis will come down. Tammuz will come down. That's the revival you're going to have. Pope will come. Hello, hi, peace. They're not going to have any revival. But the Lord is waiting for the bride. Because He wants to seal them with His nature. When you are sealed with the Holy Ghost, you will start doing the same things which happened on the day of the book of Acts. The apostles. This is why a message was sent through the messenger to restore back the children to their fathers. The message was given, and here in Branhamism is fully in a mess today. Whereas the people who we believe in the fivefold ministry, we are clear with the doctrine. We are clear with the teachings. But the sad part is, we don't have an experience. It is like you're clear with the doctrines. You're very thorough with all the doctrines of the Bible. But nothing is working. No action. Can you stand in a crowd and witness like the apostles and say, Jesus died for you? And if somebody will come and take up a challenge, are you ready to take up a challenge? Amen. Just before I came to Singapore, 20 days back, or maybe 10 days back before I visited this place, one case from Chennai, from Tamil Nadu, our capital is Chennai. From Chennai, they brought a demon-possessed case. Now, this case was something, the person who brought was our believer brother. He's connected with me, Brother David Boone. It was his relative. He told me, he asked me some 20 or 25 days back, he asked me on the phone, Pastor, would you like to pray for my cousin? I said, okay. When you reach her home, please give me the phone. And he said, we have doubts on this case. We don't know whether she has an evil spirit or whether she's psychologically affected. Then I said, brother, I need to give a test. Because if you bring the patient before me as a doctor, I can, you know, diagnose and I can say, but when the patient is somewhere in Chennai, 600 kilometers away from my city, you need to give the phone to her. So he reached her home and he called me. So I took my mobile, I said, hello. He said, brother, please talk to her. So I said, sister, how are you? She said, she spoke in a very faint voice. She said, oh, Pastor, I'm really suffering. This problem has taken place. I'm not able to really do anything. You know, I'm with this condition for 15 years. I said, okay, sister, I'll pray for you. And I just took the phone. I started to pray. And as I was praying, I said, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. That's all. And she started to scream over there. Brothers and sisters, even in phone, mobiles, you can expose the devil if you have the power of the Holy Ghost. I just said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And here she started to scream. I cut the call and I called the brother back because I was scared that now the demon has manifested. He shouldn't break that brother's phone, you see. I cut the call. After 5 minutes, I made a call. The brother took the phone. He said, brother, what happened? He said, oh, Pastor, what did you do? I said, I didn't do anything. I said, I rebuke you. I said, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. That's all. Oh, my goodness, sister, Pastor, she's screaming. I said, please record her conversation. Send it to me. And he recorded her voice. And she's saying, I know, I only speak this for the glory of God. That spirit is saying, I know that man. I know what he will do to me. If he comes here, I will have to leave. So I'm telling you, don't bring him here. You know, I have the record. Just screaming. And after that day, day by day, the manifestation became too much. Nobody could control. Now, this sister, the history of the sister is, for 15 years, she has gone to the big Pentecostal movement. Now in Tamil Nadu, we have Mount Sri Lazarus. They went to that team, big evangelical groups. They went to a church called TPM. 40 days, she stayed in the church. And 40 days, brothers and sisters prayed for her. So many pastors, you know, pastors were scared of her because she will beat the pastors. When the demon gets manifested, she will just go and slap the pastors. Pastors cannot beat the girl back because she's a woman. But she can beat the pastors because it's a devil inside. 15 years. She was in a coma stage. She doesn't remember what happened. She has a husband in Dubai. The husband said, oh, she's a mental patient. Send her away. The children don't respect her. Now 15 years. Now I told the brother, now actually I did not want to deal with this case until I come back from Philippines. That was the truth in my heart. But now that I prayed and the demon has got manifested, now the burden comes on my head. I told them, brother, I cannot come to Chennai. I'm very busy applying for my visa. Please come to Coimbatore one Sunday. So he brought the girl, his parents. They all came. Just when the girl was entering the church, the girl could not sit inside the church. And then after I just started to preach, after completing my preaching, I made the girl sit down in the middle of the church with a chair. I called their relatives, just let her sit down. She sat down. And I was praying to the Lord for 1 hour, 1.5 hours. As I was praying, there was a spiritual war. The girl sitting there, "This is a war," she's saying. "Stop your prayer. I cannot bear it." I continued to pray. I went on praying until the Lord told me, "Now you go." The spirit has become weak because the spirit was crying, "I will not go." It is saying, "I have made a covenant. I have made a promise. I cannot go." So I asked the Lord, "Lord, what is this thing? The devil is saying I made a promise." Then the Lord reveals to me that devil, which was that spirit which was inside that girl, has made a promise to Satan saying, "I will come back with this life." So it is saying, "I cannot go without this life. My purpose is to kill this girl." I went on praying and praying, and suddenly the Lord told me, "Now you go." I went straight, kept my hands, you know, on her head, this, both the sides. I laid my hands like this and I rebuked the devil. In 2 minutes' time, the devil was gone. That evening, I shared the truth to them. Monday, Sunday this happened. Monday morning, I baptized her in Jesus Christ's name. And today she's all fit and fine. Hallelujah. So many denomination pastors could not chase this demon out. The sister saying, "I felt all these 15 years, it was as though somebody was sitting on me and pushing me down. I always feel I'm going to fall. Somebody sitting on me and as though my neck is going to break." But today, that person, whoever was sitting on me, is gone. I feel as though a mountain has left me. 15 years, so many denomination pastors could not chase that demon. And here, in the name of Jesus, it is gone. This is the reason you need the power of the Holy Ghost. Now her parents have told me, "Door is open in Chennai for you." They said, "We have a very big relatives, all in Protestant churches, Pentecostal churches. Pastor, you can come and preach your word." Hallelujah. Now we need to have the same works which Jesus did. Amen. That is why you have to swim in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. You should be full of the Holy Ghost. Completely one with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just like you put the iron inside the fire. Let it get heated. Hit it more and more and more. After half an hour, 1 hour, you see, you don't know what is iron and you don't know what is fire. Because both have merged one. Both have become one. When the Holy Ghost fire comes inside you, and if you are that metal of God whom God has chosen, and as you are burning in the Holy Ghost, He becomes one with you. When the people look at you, they see Christ in you. Because the very actions, very words which was done in Christ will be done in us. That is why the Lord said, you know, the Lord said, "He that believeth in me shall do more works than me." Amen. Jesus Christ worked only for 3 years, but the church is working for 2,000 years. The church has done more works. All the authority has been given to the church. Amen. And that authority is the power of the Holy Ghost. And you need to receive it. I will come finally, of how you are going to receive it. Now let's go to our what we started in the morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you all with me? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to John chapter 14. Yeah, and the 17th verse. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Praise the Lord. Now, let me take one more scripture. Matthew chapter 1 and 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now we are going to see this first portion. How do you realize that God is with us? That is why God senses some trials. He sends some temptations, some troubles are on the way. Only when the trouble comes, you know God is with us. Or else you will not know that God is with us. You should ask the Lord. When you ask the Lord, Lord, I want to know that you are with me. He will not come down. He will send you a lion. He will send you a tiger. At that time you cry, Lord, then he is appearing. Yes, I'm with you. That is what happened to Daniel. He was sent into the lion's den, right? And there, he understood that God was with him. What about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? They went into the fire. And inside the fire, they saw the Son of God. They saw that he was with those people. That is why God keeps sending trials and temptations and troubles in our life. God wants us always, God wants that, you know, we always depend on Him. That is why He Himself sends some trouble and then He saves us from the trouble. So that He keeps us, our senses are, you know, it is clear, you know that God is with you. I remember an incident when I was in Bihar and I was in the in the hotel room. You know, we landed very late. I and Brother Arpan, he's my official translator in North India. I think he had joined our online service the other day on Friday. So this brother and I actually reached very late. We were very tired. So morning service we went, and about very few people, 25 to 30 people had gathered. And we preached. After preaching, there was one sister who was just, you know, in India, you have this habit. They put the mat and everybody sits down, you know. Everyone doesn't sit in the chair. Sisters are comfortable sitting down on the chair, on the mat, on the ground. So, one of the sisters was like, she couldn't sit properly. So I watched after prayer, she came and she said, I have some pain on my back hip for so many years. And I'm not even able to move. So it was like somebody had to catch her, help her, and make her stand. And with great difficulty, she was standing. And suddenly, something the Lord gave me a burden to pray for her. I prayed for her, and she was healed. She stood straight, you know. I finished my work, and I said, Brother Arpan, let's go to the room. And we were so tired. Our second meeting starts at 4 o'clock. I and Arpan, when we had a meal, we went to sleep, that's it. I had kept the alarm, but somehow we didn't even hear the alarm. We both were like dead. We were like dead men. We were so tired. Suddenly I woke up at 4:30 and I hit Arpan. I said, hey, cheer up, man. Whoa, you didn't hear the alarm. He said, no, brother, I didn't. Come on, get ready. We went, washed our face, freshened up. By 4:45, we were out of the room. We are running. The pastor came and he said, please, go to the room. I want to lock you in the room. I said, what happened? He said, anti-Christian groups have come. They came to know that you have a meeting. You have come, so I want to keep you safe. So they locked us in the room. If I had been caught, that group which he mentioned, they would have made me like, pork chops. That's the truth. In that area, in Bihar, Sasaram, the place Sasaram is so, it's like crazy people who worship the idols and devil. And fear, suddenly, you know, human fear is always there. That's why Paul says, you know, fear was on all sides. Don't ever think a man of God doesn't have fear. Whenever I come to stand on the pulpit in this place, my leg trembles in the beginning. 32 years I'm preaching, but still I tremble. But when the anointing comes, I'm somebody else. You see? Now fear is there and Atman doesn't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I said, brother, there is only one way. Let us pray. We started to pray. And suddenly I started to speak in tongues. And I gave an interpretation. I don't remember the entire thing. It is already there in my blog. We have put that in our blog. And there, I said, some things which I remember, I tell you. Fear not my bride. My bride will overcome. No one can touch my bride. Nobody can do harm to her. Behold, I am with you, saith the Lord. This I remember. There was something else I spoke. And Brother Atman was like, after prayer was over, both of us felt a fear left us. We were no more afraid. I asked Arpan, brother, has the fear gone? He said, yes, brother, I'm feeling so free. But may I ask you something? I said, what? Do you know Hebrew? He said. I said, no. I don't know Hebrew. He said, brother, I'm learning Hebrew. What you spoke were all Hebrew words.
Amen.
I said, oh. I said, okay, brother, then God has spoken. God is with us. That's why I don't know Hebrew, but I spoke in Hebrew and I interpreted. Okay, praise the Lord. Now this brother comes back at 6 o'clock, the pastor, and says, Pastor, successfully, they were searching for you, trying to catch you. They said, where is, they call us in North India as Guruji. Guruji means, you know, respectfully, they call them as teacher. They said, where is your Guruji? So they said, no, the Gurujis are not here. They are in some other place. And suddenly, when we were praying here, those men, all that anger was completely gone. And peacefully they left. You know, what it proves is God is with us. God is with us. If God is not with us, all these things cannot happen. Sometimes, these are the times that you know that God is with us. When I was in COVID in 2020, 75% my lungs was gone. Doctors did not take me inside the hospital. They didn't want, they said, this man is going to die. But there was another doctor friend who was a friend of the doctor. He recommended, he said, no, he's like my brother. He's like my elder brother. I know him from small. Please, doctor, you need to admit him. If he dies, let him die in the hospital. But we are praying that God will heal him. So please admit him. So I was admitted. And you know, I was given a common room. Because I did not get a private room as many patients were there. So the doctors told me to get a private room. It will take at least two days. Until then, you will be here. So I was in a common room. And before my eyes, COVID patients were dying. One old man was so scared of death. He was screaming. 10 male nurses, 5 male nurses, female nurses, all trying to catch that man. He was screaming. And with so much of pain, that man dies before my eyes. And I'm lying there. My oxygen is there. If I remove my oxygen, this is how I breathe. Continually. With the oxygen mask, I'm just looking at him, dying. Then I receive WhatsApp messages. I'm looking at my messages. This pastor died. That pastor died. That day, you know, the day when I'm admitted, 4 pastors died. I said, Lord, I'm going to die. Because why am I receiving messages that pastors are dying? So maybe the Lord is comforting me that you will be the next. I started to pray. I said, Lord, if I have not done your work, if I have not finished it, I'm very sorry. But whatever I could do, I did. Lord, if I go, I have nothing. I have not left anything for my wife. Everything we are putting on the ministry and working. There's nothing. No savings, nothing. Please take care of my wife. I'm the only son of my mother. Please take care of her. And I said, Lord, take care of the church. Rise up some leader. I prayed. Because I knew. The staff came and told my wife, please pray to your God. His condition has gone. 75%. And 2 o'clock in the night, after I confessed, I said, Lord, whatever I remember, I'll confess to you. What I don't remember, it's all up to you. If I fail you in any way, please forgive me. 2 o'clock in the night, on the third day, early in the morning, 2 o'clock in the night, it is as though somebody, I'm sleeping with oxygen mask, somebody coming, passing by, moves around me. And I woke up, there was nobody, but I could hear a voice. It said, you will not die. I will keep you alive. You will go to the lands that your eyes have not seen. And the Lord says, I am the Lord who gave you India Vision. I told you that I will take you to many places in India. Now I will take you to many countries in the world. It was all like somebody communicating. And there was great peace and joy. That morning, I was shifted to the private room. It was third day. Now, evening, it was about 8 o'clock. I have to remove my mask only when I'm drinking tea or they are giving me some food. After I had my dinner, I went, freshened up, they came back. I said, let me go to sleep. So the staff left. I took the oxygen mask. You know, it's just close to the bed. So I kept it like that. And suddenly a voice is telling, remove the mask. And the same voice which spoke to me early in the early hours of 2 o'clock is now telling, remove the mask. I remove the mask. And here, I'm breathing normally. I said, what happened? I'm trying to do. No, I'm breathing normally. I'm breathing normally. I said, God has healed me. Oh my goodness, tears started to come in my eyes. I just went to sleep. Morning, the staff comes with a cup of tea to wake me up every day. That's their duty, you know, with all the patients. She came and said, Pastor, she was a Christian. She knew I was a pastor. Pastor, Pastor, masking, where is the mask? Where is the mask? I said, wait. I got up, I sat down in the bed. I said, just look at me, huh? I'm breathing normally. I said, you are a Christian girl, right? Night, there came a voice to me. It said, remove your mask. I removed and I'm breathing normally. She said, Pastor, that is all okay. But I need to inform the doctor. Because they will hold me responsible. I said, no problem. You tell the doctor. And doctors were so scared to come into the ward. You know, the nurses, I tell you, nurses are gifted people. May God bless them. They are the ones who really worked. The doctors sitting in the AC room, they don't want to come. They don't want to die. The sacrificial lambs were the the sacrifice for those nurses. And what happened that evening, the doctor spoke to me on video call. He said, sir, I see that you have removed your mask. I said, doctor, just 1 minute. Just look at me. Can you see, doctor? I said, Lord, heal me last night. So he couldn't believe. Then he said, oh, I'm sorry. He was a Hindu doctor. He said, good, your body is responding to the medicine. I said, that is because of God's grace. Without grace, even medicines, what? I said, the next room guys are still lying like that. Right with the mask, but I'm healed. Medicines didn't work for them. It has worked for me because God healed me. Then after I came back home, you know, that is when trials and temptations and troubles come, you know God is with you. Why the Holy Spirit? Why is this one portion God? He said, He is with you. Means when the days of trouble, how? I was just thinking, how can Peter die upside down? When Paul's head was beheaded, how could he die? And history has recorded that, you know, when the head was cut, 1, 2, 3. 3 times. And then it turns back. As though looking at the person who cut his head. And Paul died like this. Smiling. I really wonder how were they so bold. Because let me tell you something. They had seen Jesus. When Jesus is with you, there is nothing to fear. I remember a story. Richard Wurmbrand had written about the problem which took place in Russia. There was a 4-year-old boy whose parents were killed. He was a Christian boy. And the master used to call him every day. He was a psycho, that officer. He'll tell the boy to sit down. Tell him to remove his clothes. And he will be smoking cigarette, watching the boy. And take the cigarette with the fire. He'll just put that thing on the boy. And keep it for, you know, a few seconds. The whole body will be burnt. But yet, after that incident, the boy goes back to his room and he starts to pray. 4-year-old boy. After that man died, and this boy was, some other police officers came and took this boy home. They saw his body completely burnt with cigarette, that fire. You know, so they asked that boy, just tell us one thing. How come, with so much of trouble, yet you were able to praise Jesus? He said, every day in the night, Jesus appears before me. And with his hands, he will touch me. He said, there was so much of love in my heart that I always wanted that master to keep his cigarettes, you know, burn my body so that every day I can see Jesus. He said, that pain was nothing for me. I felt nothing because there was so much of love. A 4-year-old boy could give a testimony like that. Why? When we have troubles in our life, that is when you know that God is with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to God. Now let's go to the next thing. He said, and he shall be in you. The second experience is he shall be in you. Now, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 19. What know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Now he's saying that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. Hallelujah. We saw he's with us as Emmanuel. Now he's in you. This is a personal anointing which comes inside us. Now, what will the Lord do by coming inside us? This is very, very important. We need to read another scripture so, you know, I can connect you with the meaning. The book of Malachi. Chapter 3, 2 and 3. Brother, you may read it. Malachi chapter 3, 2 and 3.
But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness.
Amen. Amen. We see here, the third verse says, he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Amen. The reason that Holy Ghost comes inside you, we saw that he's with us, right? That chapter's over now. The reason that he comes inside you is to sanctify you. Sanctification is very, very important. Sanctification means separation. He separates you so that he will purge you as silver and gold. I was reading an article about the one, how silver is purified. The man who purifies silver, you know, he puts it into the fire. He removes the silver and he has a special cloth for that. He keeps wiping and wiping and wiping the silver. Put it back again. Take it out. Wiping it again. He keeps on wiping and he will be looking at his face. Now, you know, when silver is pure, it's pure. When the man who purifies can see his very own face inside. This is the kind of purification process which the Holy Ghost wants to do with us. He wants to. That is why he is putting us into the fire. Keeps on purifying and purifying and purifying until Christ's very own image is seen in us. Oh, my brothers and sisters. What a beauty it would have been. I just think about Adam. The first person that Adam saw when he was born, when the Lord blew the breath of life into him, Adam, there was a lifeless body. And then suddenly he receives life. When he opens his eyes, what did he see? He saw his Creator. And what did the Creator see in Adam? He saw his very own image. That is why purification is very, very important. When the virgins were selected in the time of Esther, they were given special purification. All the virgins had to be purified. Esther was purified for 6 months before meeting the king. Why should we be purified? Why should we be? We should be sanctified. It is because we are going to meet our Creator. Before meeting the king, if Esther was purified for 6 months, we are all going to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now the question is, are you all living a sanctified life? What kind of life are you living? Temptation is common to man. Falling is common. But the point is, you cannot keep on lying down forever. There is somewhere at the point of time you need to get up and walk. This purification process is what the Holy Spirit is doing by sitting. He's saying he will come and sit as a refiner. Oh, where is the Holy Ghost? He's inside you. That's what Paul is saying. Know ye not that you are the temple of the living God? It means the Corinthians were not aware of what they have received. This keyboard could be played in the best way. But yet you just let a little child, it will go. Right? There'll be no note. There'll be no sound. Just tang, 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 tang. It can break anything. That is what the Corinthians were doing. They did not know the value of what was given to them. Many of the people today, many believers don't know the value of what has been given to you. Know you not? Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And he is inside you. He has come inside to purify our body, soul, and spirit. We need to be the vessel of the Lord. When speaking about the virgins, I gave my version of interpretation. I said the virgins, the wise virgins, had oil in their vessels. The foolish had ready-made oil in the lamp. And that was the oil which got over. They did not have extra oil. They carried the oil The wise, whereas the wise carry the oil in their vessels. And what kind of oil they should carry? They should only carry olive oil. Because when you read the book of Exodus chapter 27 and 20, it says that you need to bring what kind of oil? Crushed olive oil. Pure virgin oil. You cannot use coconut oil. You cannot use any other oil. Because God has said it should be pure olive oil. Then it should be olive oil. Where do you get crushed olive oil? You get it at the cross. Where Jesus was crushed for us. And that is the sanctification life. The wise virgins lived a sanctified life. They were purifying themselves. Oh, we are going to meet a holy God. We are going to meet a holy God. Remember that. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. If there is no life of sanctification, then what are we doing? You cannot give glory to God. You cannot live a life glorifying God, because we are supposed to glorify God in our bodies. So the problem with the foolish were, they did not have the extra oil to purify their lives to meet the bridegroom. But if God has given us the oil, now you will have to start walking in the Spirit. We need to live a purified life before God and before men. The world is not going to read the Bible. Let me tell you. Sinners are not interested to read the Bible, but sinners will read you and me. It means we need to be the Bible. It is our life which is put on display. It is our life which is on action, which the world will see. That is when they will know that Christ is in us. You just don't need to live a purified life just for yourself to go in the rapture. But you need to live a purified life because He is holy. And every day, if I have to go to His presence, then I need to be holy. I need to be sanctified. I need to be purified. You cannot mix up with unbelievers. You cannot live the life that you lived before. There has to come a change. Without the change, you cannot meet Jesus Christ. That's why when the foolish are coming and asking, Lord, open the door to us. He said, I know you not. Huh? Brother Gann gave a beautiful scripture when I used to read that. Adam knew his wife Eve. Isaac knew Rebecca. Spiritual intimacy. Getting closer to Jesus. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let that word which is in Jesus' mouth become part of our lips. Let that life, because you know why he said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. That is what God did to Adam. When He blew the breath of life, He placed His mouth on His lips. This is why Elijah did the same thing to the young man. Because what God did, Elijah is doing and showing. This is how the Creator gave life. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Because this is an intimate relationship. Between husband and wife, this is pure. It means you need to get intimate with God. And that is what He wants to do. The sanctification process is being intimate with God. Because He's turning us like Him. That is why the wives carried vessels. In their vessels they carried the oil. What is the vessel? What are the vessels? Your eye is a vessel. Your ear is a vessel. Your hands are vessels. Your legs are a vessel to carry the gospel. Your mouth is a vessel. Your body, soul and spirit is the vessel of God. It means every part of your body, every part of your soul, every part of your human nature, everything should belong to Christ. And you should be so one with Him. That the very words that you talk, you speak, everything brings edification on the hearers. You know why all these doctrines have come? There's so many doctrines. Brother Branham spoke 1,200 messages. Now I don't know, Brother Gann must have spoken more. Charles Spurgeon, they say the prince of preachers, spoke 54,000 messages. John Wesley had his part to do. Martin Luther has spoken a lot of messages. Now as a preacher, I have preached so many messages. But all the messages are leading just to one thing. That the soul has to be purified.
Amen.
Nothing else. There is nothing else. You have to be pure. Because, oh bride, Jesus is not coming for an unholy church. He's coming for a sanctified bride.
Amen.
That is why Paul called it as a virgin, espoused for Christ. A virgin who's purified. Is untouched by the world. You cannot live a life, an unholy life, and yet to claim yourself to be a believer. You may not be 100% perfect, I know that, but you should be moving towards perfection. You may fall sometimes, don't worry about it. Stand up and keep moving. The devil will bring all kinds of accusation on you. You don't need to worry about it. Because Christ said, there is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Talk back to the devil. Don't lose your faith. But let your purpose be sanctification. Don't worry about you are falling thousand times you fall. Yet you get up and go to Christ. Move to Him. He's waiting for you. He's ready to sanctify all those who come with a true heart. This is what we need today. Brother Branham spoke about marriage and divorce, but you look at the condition of the world. Look at the condition of end time message people. There are so many divorces now taking place in the Branhamite churches. So many divorces for no reason. In Tamil Nadu, I'm just seeing this thing happening. That is why I told you, you may speak about sanctification, but until you receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost, you cannot go into the process of sanctification.
Amen.
To enter into the process, you need the Holy Ghost. We are living in the last days. Right? Look at the book of Revelation chapter 22. The 10th verse, 22, 10, 11, 12, it says, He said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Look at the condition of the world today. Men are so confused. They don't know what gender they are. Whether they are men, whether they are women. Women are confused. LGBTQ, RST, UV, WXY, I don't know what they are going to add more. It goes on and on. The condition of the world is so bad. Why it's becoming bad? What is the reason it's becoming bad? Because Jesus is saying, that the Lord is saying, he that is unjust, let him be unjust. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. It means God has stopped repentance. The spirit of repentance is now moving out from the world. 2,000 years back, John the Baptist came with a message of repentance. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Then Jesus, when he came to ministry, he preached the same message. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. On the day of Pentecost, when the disciples started their ministry, they said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Every age, you read all the church ages, every promise, it ends with repentance. Repent. Repent. Repentance was an important message. But now God is no more fighting. His spirit is no more striving with man. He said we need to somehow find, seek him. If a precious gem, a precious jewel is lost somewhere in your home, you will make the house upside down until you find it out. Until repentance is fulfilled in us. Until righteousness is fulfilled in us. Until you see that light of holiness inside you. Do not rest, my bride. Don't rest. Because he is in you to sanctify you. We need to show this filthy world that there is a righteous people, a holy nation, glorifying God. Amen. I get so confused nowadays when I'm traveling. In Philippines I went, you know, and I was searching for the Cebu Pacific in Manila, the counter, last time when I went to Philippines. And far from there was a security. And you know, he actually came literally walking like a woman. He came walking, his hands were moving like, how can I help you, sir? I really got scared. Who? Because I thought he's a security. And from far he saw me. He came. I just asked him, I need to go to Cebu Pacific counter, please tell me, and I ran off. You go to different places. Everything is tumbling. Everything is going. The world is gone. It's gone crazy. I heard in Los Angeles schools, you know, now they children can choose their gender. Teacher will ask, sweetheart, 4 years old kid, 5 years old kid, what do you want to become? You want to become a woman? You want to become a man? Now, for example, if the male child says, you know, male children, they are children, finally. I want to become a woman. Okay, from tomorrow, you should wear women's clothing. Put lipstick. Pierce your ears. It's there in Los Angeles. What is happening to this world? The world has gone crazy. The demons have been let loose. I pray. The church will be raptured, the bride will be raptured, all the members sitting over here, you will be raptured. Because you cannot be in great tribulation. I tell the Lord, Lord, you want me to take my life? Before rapture you can take, praise the Lord. Or let me see the rapture. But I'm not going to go after the rapture. I don't want to see that world. That is not for us. It means then, in this generation, in this wicked generation, who is going to be the light? It is you and me. It means we need to be sanctified. That is why the Lord has come down into the church. The Holy Spirit in you is working to bring you to the sanctification. It is not just holy living. It is doing the complete will and plan of God. Everything comes under sanctification. Sometimes you will live a holy life, but you will miss to do the will of God. And even that is sin before God. So God wants to take us into His complete plan and purpose so that we will do that purpose. Hallelujah. Now, let's see the last portion before I finish. The book of Acts. Hallelujah, everyone. You're with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. Acts chapter 1 and 8. Acts chapter 1 and 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We saw God with us. We saw God in us. Now we are seeing God upon us. Holy Spirit with us. Holy Spirit in us. And Holy Spirit upon us. Now the last portion of this experience is something very, very important. When I tell some believers, brother, you need the power of the Holy Ghost, some of them were offended. They said, brother, we have the word. We believe in the prophet. We believe in the message. We know the truth. And that is when I pointed out the scripture of Philip. I said, even those believers believed all that Philip preached, and yet they did not have the Holy Ghost. Now, here when you say power, the word is used as dunamis in Greek. Dunamis means something like a volcano eruption. Based on that only this word dynamite and all these, you know, words have come. It's like something like a blast. If there is an earthquake here, next day, whole of Singapore, you will have an information. Right? If there is a volcano somewhere, everybody will come to know. A few days back, we saw Los Angeles burning. You know, I don't know why I said this word in Kenya. When I was preaching in Kenya in December, I told them, I was preaching about Hollywood, Bollywood, Collywood. And then I said, you know, you have Hollywood, Bollywood, Collywood, Tollywood, Nollywood. And I said, all is wood. The fire of God will come and burn them. It is all in the record. I preached on December. December 19th or 17th, I said that. Said, everything is wood. And the fire of God will come and burn. And January 1st week, I hear this news that Hollywood is burning. I said, praise be to God. I'm happy. They spoiled the whole world. Let it burn. More and more. That's a prophecy, right? Now, if when there's something is burning, the whole world knows. When there's an earthquake, everybody comes to know. Then if you receive this dunamis, you receive this power, then you turn to become like a dynamite. It is like, you know what? You are the earthquake to hell. You are the volcano to the sinners. The Lord turns you into a fire which destroys the works of the enemy. Why sickness? Why there was healings? Why the demons were cast out? The Lord was showing them when the Lord God is walking, the demons have to flee. Sickness has to go. And the dead have to rise back to life. This is the demonstration of the power of God. And God is showing through these miracles that He is walking. One more time. We need it, my brothers and sisters. We need it. The church requires this today. It's high time. This is what Brother Gann labored for in prophetic revelation. But maybe he did not see it when he was alive. But I believe this is going to happen, because every minister of God, whoever labored, the labor will never go in vain. We are the next generation who have to claim this promise and receive this promise. When you have this power, the witnessing becomes very easy. You know, in Brother Boone's home, I could not enter. Two times Brother Boone conducted meeting in Chennai. He spent his own money, but his own family will not come. Now this one miracle. 15 years, a demon-possessed girl was completely delivered, and here door is open, the father and mother saying, our house is always open for you. They have a big house in Chennai. Witnessing becomes very easy when you witness the gospel with the demonstration of power. That is why the Lord said, now look at these disciples. This is what many of the end time people, all of us had been doing. Even I was doing that until I realized. You see what happened, 9th verse. Look at the 9th verse. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, A men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, the next point. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And the 12th verse, 13th verse speaks about all the people who are there. I want to skip the scripture, but you can read it later on. Peter, James, everybody were there in the room, upper room. And the 14th verse, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now Jesus gave them a promise that when the power, when the dunamis, when the dynamite shall come into you, when the power of God will come into you, after it comes, you will be a witness unto me. Now, after these sayings, now the Lord is being taken up in a cloud. And the Bible tells, while they look steadfastly towards heaven. You know, they forgot the promise. The Lord told them, wait for the promise of the Father. Look here. The 4th verse, Acts chapter 1 and 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. Already the Lord instructed them, wait for the power. But they are looking up into heaven. Maybe they were waiting. If Jesus will come back again soon, we will go in the rapture. Many message believers are doing this mistake by just waiting for the rapture, but you don't want the power of the Holy Ghost to be a witness. The message of rapture has become so famous, end time message believers have become lazy, not doing anything for the Lord. That is why there was a rebuke, a reminder of two angels. Men and brethren, what are you doing? It is like they are trying to say, what are you looking up? Rapture, rapture, rapture. This Jesus who went up in the same manner, he will come down.
Hallelujah.
Get out from here.
Amen.
Go to Jerusalem. You have a work. Brothers and sisters, rapture will take place in its own time. This is not something that you and I should worry about. Can you transform yourself, brother? No. Can I transform myself? No. Can I sit down and whole night and say, pray, Lord, transform my body, transform my body? Transformation doesn't come like that. We know the seven thunders have to utter their voices. They will have a picture. This is what the Lord put in my heart. Because John says, when you shall see him, you shall be like him. Then what are the thunders uttering? The thunders have a revelation which will draw the beauty of Jesus before our eyes. They have that revelation because one smile of Jesus will shake the universe. Isaiah 33:17 tells us, your eyes shall behold the beauty of the King. But what are we seeing today? Today we are seeing Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. The cross is leading us today. Like Isaiah says, who will believe my report? When we look at him, when we behold him, there is no beauty that we can see in him. This is speaking about Jesus, the death of Jesus on the cross. Of course, Jesus was a handsome looking man. Don't tell me he was not looking good. He did not have sin. He did not have curse in the body. If we with so much of sin and curse in our body, if we can look beautiful and handsome, don't you think our Lord would have been handsome? But what is Isaiah trying to say? Isaiah received the vision of the cross. He said, when we behold, there is no beauty in him. Because his face was torn apart. And the same Isaiah in the 33rd chapter, in the 17th verse, he says, your eyes shall behold the beauty of the King. When the seven thunders utter their voice, we are going to have the picture, the beauty of the Lord as he is. None of us has seen him in glory. And then John's word gets fulfilled. When you shall see him, you shall be like him. So this same Jesus, as he went, he will come back. Until then, what am I supposed to do? Looking up, gazing at heaven. When are you coming, Lord? Please take me, Lord. Please take me, Lord. Brothers and sisters, you are not here to cry in desperation, Lord, please take me, Lord. Do you want to escape? The Lord had to suffer, and you want to escape. Lord, the suffering belongs to you. And escapism belongs to me. Rapture is not a means of escape. Coming of the Lord is not for you to escape. Let me tell you, even the coming of, before the coming of the Lord, there is coming a pressure. The World Council of Churches is coming against the bride, against the ministers. There is going to be a war. There is going to be a war, my brothers and sisters. Everyone's faith is going to be tested. And those who are found worthy are the ones who are going to go in the rapture. You're not going to go in the rapture because you belong to prophetic revelation or Rhema Life Ministry or Brenham Tabernacle or anything. Every man's faith is going to be tested. And for you to face those days, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. That is why. Say, go. You have work. What are you looking up? Oh, you men of Galilee. Oh, my loving, lazy brothers and sisters. What are you looking up? What are you gazing up? He will come. When he has to come, he will come. Brother Brenham made a beautiful statement. He said, when the Lord comes, if it is going to be a Sunday, and if it is going to be 10 o'clock in the morning, I will take my Bible and go to the church. And I will open the Bible and I will start preaching. Until my Lord comes next to me and say, Brenham, close your Bible. Come, I'm taking you home. We have to be in field work. The harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. To be a laborer in God's vineyard, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. Without the power of the Holy Ghost, you cannot labor. Because tough days have come. You need to face challenges. It is not easy. That is why he said, wait for the promise of the Father. It means everyone, you want to work, you work. But let this be your prayer. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I want to be a witness. You go to work. It's not wrong. But what is Jerusalem? Jerusalem is that inner spirit, inner city where you're resting in the word and waiting for the promise to come. This should become the desire of every brother and sister in this church today and all those who are hearing. It should be your desire. This should be your only desire. This should not be just one of the desires. This is the most important desire. Lord, I need the power of the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, you know who's the best preacher in the world? Without thinking, just tell me. The best preacher in the world. From Genesis to Revelation, so many have preached Jesus Christ. And the disciples studied under the best preacher in the world. And yet, if they have to receive the power of the Holy Ghost, what about you and me? Nobody is better than Jesus, right? So many men of God have come and gone, but Jesus is the most important. He's the best. He's the best of all. And these disciples, 3 years, they followed him, heard him speak. They heard the word of life. And still, if they require the power of the Holy Ghost, what about you and me? Oh, we need this power. How do I receive it? Is the question now. How do I receive it? It means make this one thing the desire of your heart. Let's pray with David today. Just give me 5 more minutes. We'll finish it. Psalm 63. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsted for thee. Psalm 63 and 1. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Second verse, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. This was the desire of David. He's saying, Lord, what I've seen in a sanctuary, what is a sanctuary? Jesus Christ is a sanctuary. He's the temple. Now David has said, now we need to ask the Lord, Lord, just like it was in Jesus, just like the power was with the Lord Jesus, I want to see the same glory. I want to see the same power. Is this your desire? Oh, I want to go to other countries to work. I want to earn a lot of money. I want to make my family comfortable. I think many people are carried out by all these things. Believers have forgotten what they are supposed to ask. This is the only one thing you need to ask. Like David, pray with David. Ask the Lord. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Seek and you will find. This is not money. This is not finance. Huh? This is speaking about the Holy Ghost. Ask and you shall receive. Let me tell you, now we are no more beggars, but we are sons and daughters. Because you have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, God is now calling you sons and daughters. And a son and daughter need not beg, but he need to receive it. Before your baptism, maybe we were like beggars. But now, let this be your desire. And see, Psalm 73. Psalm 73. 73, yes, 73 and 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Whom I have in heaven? Now this is a very strange way of saying. Asap. Lord, whom I have in heaven but thee? It means the intention of this psalmist is, Lord, if you are not in heaven, then I'm not coming there. I don't want heaven as my reward. I want you. If you are not in heaven, then I'll search you in some other universe. Maybe I'll go through all the multiverse. Now there is no more universe, right? Now there's multiverse. They're going on confusing us. But anyway, God is almighty. He can do anything. If he's not in heaven, let me search him in the multiverse until I find him. Our desire is not the reward. Our desire is the Creator. If this desire comes into your heart, I tell you, you ask in a moment, you're going to receive. I'm just going to pray for the Holy Ghost now. This should be your desire. That is what David is saying. That is what Asaph is saying. Lord, there is no other desire. And he's saying, Lord, none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. In the earth, the only reason that I'm living on this earth is for your sake. Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't you want to be witness? Your eyes have to see what God has done on the day of apostles has come back again. We need to see the mighty hand of God. Because He's alive. He's the same God yesterday, today and forever. Let this become your desire from today. And rest not until you have received it. When somebody asked Brother Branham, how can I receive divine healing? He said, until you receive divine healing, keep believing and keep praying. Because God will not fail you. Until you receive this power of God, keep waiting and praying. It is not wrong for you to go to work, but let your desire at your working place, keep asking God for the Holy Spirit power. When you come back home, ask Him for the Holy Spirit power. Oh, hallelujah. When the power of God comes, when the fire comes, you shall be a witness. I don't know whether you people remember when I was here in 2017, after I finished my prayer, my second message, something came into my heart that I prayed. I lifted up Brother Gann's hand, you know, and I prayed, Lord, let prophetic revelation bring a revival to Singapore. Because I never said it on my own. I knew that something hit me. Something, I felt something. But today the leader is gone. But the Holy Spirit is still leading. The man must have gone. But still you people are here. Maybe God wants it to do through you. If this becomes your desire. If you all start searching. You just start seeking with one mind. That is why you need to take out all your other differences now. Get united into this one purpose. When you have the Holy Ghost, each one of you is going to become unique. You don't need to look at the other brother and think, oh, why is he going up in spiritual life? Why I'm so low in my spiritual life? You don't need to envy any other brother, because every one of you will become unique in Christ's sight. May the Lord pour the Holy Spirit inside you. Can you all stand up? Shall we all stand up before the Lord?
Hallelujah. Glory, Lord. Glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Some sister, please play the keyboard. Anybody? Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Everybody, just think about the Lord now. Every one of you, whoever are here, call upon God. Call upon God. Just look unto your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Yes, sister. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, Lord. Glory, Lord. Glory, Lord. Hallelujah. You can play I Surrender All. Yeah. Just the music. Or you can also sing if you want to. Hallelujah. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Dove. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Come down, O Lord. Move in this place. Move mightily, O God. As we are going to pray that each and everyone will receive the Holy Ghost today. Oh, this is something they have to desire. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus. Let it become a desire of your hearts today. Oh, the Lord wants to fill everybody. God wants to fill everyone here in this place. I'm standing with you, along with you, standing. And I want to call upon God while all of you join me in this prayer. Call upon Him with your whole hearts. Let this become your one desire. Surrender your lives to Christ. God is passing by. He may not be found tomorrow. He said, behold, I come quickly. The book of Revelation is something He said, behold, I come quickly. It means the seals have been opened. The things that we need to understand has been opened. All the things which have been shut is now open before our eyes. The church needs the power of the Holy Ghost. The church needs the fullness of the Holy Ghost so that you will swim in the waters. Oh, don't be satisfied with ankle deep or knee deep level. Don't be satisfied with waist level. But be prepared to swim in the Holy Ghost. Be prepared to become a fire for God. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name to all these sisters as I'm moving in this place, oh God. Let your holy dove come and rest upon them. Jesus, holy, holy God. Oh, Jesus, touch them, oh God. Mightily, touch them mightily in Jesus' name. Touch each and everyone in Jesus' name. Oh, mighty Father. Praise your holy name. Everyone call upon God today. He's alive. Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, Jesus, move. Move among them, oh God. As they're calling, bring the oneness in the church. Let the church come to one mind in this matter. We need the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need the holy power. Amen. Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, use this man mightily, oh God.
Thank you, Lord.
Use him mightily. Fill his heart in Jesus' name.
Be your holy name, oh Lord.
That he may carry this load, oh God. That there will be a revival in this place. Use him. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Praise the Lord. 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, the Lord is moving. The Lord is moving. The Lord is moving among each and every one. Oh, completely surrender your life to Him today. This is the day. This day may not come back again. Oh, be serious. Take it serious today. Oh, hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. In Jesus' name. May you all receive the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Fill this church in Jesus' name. Fill it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Fill, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let the heavens be opened. Pour down your Holy Spirit. Oh, God, move among these people. Let them see miracle after miracle, day by day, from today. Let their hearts wait for you. Let their hearts long for you. Let their desire become your desire. And let them receive your power. Holy, 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 holy be thy name, O God. Glory be thy name, O God. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, Lord. Heavenly Father, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.